Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. In April, we attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, and during that five-day period, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Once again, big thanks to ENCO and Bennstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. In our 12th episode of this continuing series, we hear the conversation I had with the president and CEO of Skyview Networks, Steve Jones. Skyview is a leader in broadcast solutions, content syndication, and network audio sales.
So here we are on the floor of the NAB. It's been another long day. We're winding up the day. But the NAB is celebrating 100 years, which is just amazing to me. It's just fantastic. And I just wonder, is there any innovation or specific project that you're working on at Skyview that you can share with us?
Well, so we, in addition to advertising sales, we provide technology solutions and ad management solutions. And we have been working on ways to facilitate production that is cloud-based. This year, we actually began using cloud-based distribution in some capacities, in addition to using satellite. So we still very much use satellite for live programming, and we don't see satellite sunsetting anytime soon. You know, with radio stations scattered across the United States where they have often inconsistent cellular connectivity, that remains an issue, and satellite is it's efficient, it's reliable. But cloud-based distribution is something that we're focused on and we've been developing, and I think that the pandemic, you know, really sort of was an impetus to a lot of this. So just as, you know, at Skyview, I live in New York, but the company is headquartered in Arizona, and getting people to do video conferencing before the pandemic, what a burden it was for them to do that with me so I could see them.
Yeah.
And of course now, you know, I'm on Teams all day long, and Eric, I'm sure you are too. So during the pandemic, we had to create some solutions so that some of our broadcast partners who couldn't go into their studios could operate their boards remotely, virtually. So we developed some software solutions. And you're seeing a lot of that here on the NAB floor, a lot of cloud-based technology as people are trying to get away from being tethered to a studio. The miniaturization of electronics and the portability, all of it is sort of synthesizing around us right here.
It's fascinating. You know, so many stations, for a couple of weeks, they all went remote, but then they have everyone back. But for you at Skyview, probably none of your content is where you're based in any offices.
Yeah, well, I mean, so you're right. Our our content partners are located across the country, and you and I were just on a panel, and I was talking about a lot of the personalities that we syndicate and sell, and you know, many of them use the opportunity of COVID to really build out nice home facilities where they can create content that is high quality. All of them have a video component to it as well. So, you can be anywhere, of course, now. And, you know, little things like I will be doing Teams calls with business partners, some of them who are in Hong Kong and Indonesia. We have a business partner. And I'll conclude a one-hour live stream video call with, there's no buffering, no latency.
Yeah, and perfectly clear.
Wow.
I know. Who would ever think?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're actually on just a telephone call, it's almost awkward.
Yeah, who, you know, there was the 100th anniversary of the first cellular phone call was this month, Motorola. And the guy who made that first call, I was reading an interview with him, and he said, you know, what we didn't anticipate was not only would it be mobile and miniaturized, but calling people would be the last thing you would be using it for.
Yeah.
Right? It's your calculator, your calendar,
yeah,
your flashlight, but you know, you're not using it for actual phone calls all that often.
No, it's amazing. the word syndication has really changed over the years. What you do today is very different than being in the network business or the syndication, you know, business years ago. Sort of give us an overview, Steve, and get our arms around what syndication is today and what are best practices in syndication.
Yeah. Well, you know, the goal, it seems, the aspiration of all talent in radio certainly, but in other media, is they want to be syndicated. I want to be syndicated. Why do you want to be syndicated? Well, the answers vary. I want more people to hear me. I'm proud of my work. And, you know, that often is a very reassuring answer to hear when you are in business considering somebody. But often it's, you know, I think I'm going to make a gazillion dollars. It's going to be so lucrative. It's very difficult in syndication. In the radio business, there's a finite amount of time. It is not infinite. And so if you're going to put a syndicated show on a radio station, it's going to usually, not always, but usually come at the expense of some other individual doing a show or some other program. So the radio business has had kind of a, depending on who you're talking to, love-hate relationship with syndicated programming. One of the criticisms often is that there's the lack of localism and that there's a loss of individual identity. And at Skyview, we've worked hard to try and customize the content so that the shows don't sound generic and remote.
Give me an example of that.
Well, actually, so some of the technology we're working on developing now will allow us to create customized content for every affiliate of a show. And we do it now with advertising. So if you are a John Deere advertiser, we can take your core commercial, John Deere, and customize it so that in every market that spot runs, there'll be a local tag for the John Deere dealer. And so we have the technology to do that now. The issue has been a range of things. Part of it is the amount of time and effort that can go into doing that, to getting the radio stations to actually give us the scripting or the imaging that they want in there. But syndication, I think, in general, going back to your original question, has also become a way to generate efficiencies that reduce expenses. So, you know, putting more syndicated programming on is often cheaper. The problem is if it's not done properly, shows that or stations that are all syndicated sometimes can have difficulty because it depends on what the programming is. But, you know, I do think that radio still has to celebrate and amplify its localism, its uniqueness. The most successful radio stations have a role in their community. And you can do that with syndicated programming. You just have to be thoughtful about how you do that. All of our syndicated hosts engage in some sort of localism, whether it's recorded content or, you know, the Dana Cortez, who you've met. Mm-hmm. She was in San Antonio last weekend speaking to the San Antonio school system because she is such a personality and considered such a positive force in the community. And that only happens through consistency of engagement by the talent. They have to care, they have to know the community, and they really want to succeed. So it's through hard work. Everything is through hard work. Everything mom and dad said, you know, you want to be successful, you got to work hard.
Right. So how's business this year?
Yeah, so, you know, we're specifically in the network radio space, which is measured by Kantar Media. There's an index called the Miller-Kaplan, which captures the non-attributed spend across the industry. And, you know, I think I saw that in January, the network radio space was $83 million, and in February, it was about $74 million. Some of this is cyclical. You know, but that would be on a run rate a little less than $1 billion, whereas last year it was about 1.1 to 1.2. I still think the network radio space is doing well because there are more and more advertisers that want to take their investment money and they want efficiency of reach. So the network radio CPM compared to connected TV,
right,
and other expensive digital propositions is very, very efficient and effective. And, you know, the companies that have figured this out, like Procter & Gamble. You know, they understand it's not about digital only, and it's not about network radio or radio only. We're part of the media mix, right? So the most successful marketers have a portfolio of tools, and network radio and local radio are very much a part of that.
Well, as you know, I can remember years ago when I was in the rep business, we used to, I mean, it's never good to sell against another, your own business, but, you know, on the national side, we would sell against network because in those days we could say a lot of your spots aren't running. And we would prove to them, you know, I know there was a huge stack of affidavits, and I used to say to the national client, I'll analyze them for you. I know you're not going to, but let me, and I'll show you how much money didn't get spent. That's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Because now you really can prove in a much quicker way that they're getting what they're purchasing.
Yeah, it's very important to have that verification of clearance. It's something that I can tell you at Skyview we take very, very seriously because it's a credibility issue. The other thing is that we have, which is a great lever, is that the commercials that are being bartered that the radio stations must run are generally associated with critical services they receive. ABC News, CBS News, the Associated Press, the Weather Channel. So those are examples of four publishers that Skyview represents. And, you know, the most effective way to get commercials consistently cleared is to call the program director and say, by the way, you're not going to get one of these critical services. And of course, we never really have to get to that point.
Sure.
But, you know, the fact remains that when commercials are associated with a critical service the radio station receives, you know, they're not going to be bumped.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really important. So at the REB, we've created these product category live presentations, and every month we zero in on a specific business category. And as you know, at the local level, not only are we measuring revenue, but what are the business categories? And I'm curious, on the national side for you and the network side, are there specific business categories that you've seen growth in that maybe surprised you? And conversely, are there other categories that used to be strong that just are getting smaller?
Yeah, well, I mean, pharmaceutical has jumped up substantially. Yeah. And, you know, it used to be difficult because of the copy responsibilities and a lot of the pharmaceuticals.
All the disclaimers.
Yeah, but pharmaceutical has gotten very big. You know, we've had some challenges. The number one advertiser was job recruiting. You know, companies like Indeed, and with the economy changing, you know, they've shifted their spend. It's still substantial, and network radio and radio in general is still a huge driver of positive results.
Right.
But that's one example. Some of that, I think, will. I mean, it's just dependent on how the economy is doing. When you have so many open positions and so much demand, obviously, those companies see a real opportunity. We talked about Procter & Gamble, and, you know, I think there are like 37 products that they're advertising that I counted recently. And, you know, that's just so reassuring when you see a data-rich decision maker like Procter & Gamble, you know, who came back in about 2017, you know, into the radio space, and just year after year after year is continuing to spend or increase their spend. And introduce new product lines as well. It's very exciting for us.
And that's such a great example because they wouldn't be doing that if it didn't work.
Yeah. You know, what's funny, I hear from radio stations that clear our commercials how they're gratified at the quality of the advertising creative and the brands.
Uh-huh.
And they feel, rightly so,
interesting,
that they sound bigger when you hear Lowe's and the Home Depot and O'Reilly Auto Parts and all of these commercials on the radio station, that it lifts the perception of the local advertiser. Hey, maybe I should spend money on that station because here's the validation.
What a great point.
Yeah.
What a great point. And, you know, it gets back to, we talk about creative so much, but boy, it really does matter, the quality of that creative.
It does. And thank you Erica Farber and the RAB for your, you know, unflagging support of the creative process in radio and the Mercury Awards, which is a great event coming up in June where you recognize creatives and you incent creatives through cash awards to submit their best work, to strive to create the best work. And I have to say, every time I go to that event, you know, I feel such gratification that there are people taking the time, and I'm amazed at the creativity.
Oh, it's, and there are some awards also being given to local broadcasters who create great local commercials. So, I love to hear those, and I love, you know, I have the advantage, I get to sit in the judging in the back of the room, and I'm always gratified because we know it's a challenge with creative, but when you have this amazing group, a panel of judges that are senior creative executives from across the country, and they're hearing commercials that are being produced at the local level, and to hear their comments, it makes you feel so good. It really does.
Yeah, and a corollary to that is the NAB has the Service to America Awards, which celebrate television and radio coverage that focuses on issues of importance in the community. Mm-hmm. And all of you listening, if you ever have an opportunity to go and support that event and participate in it, you will hear excerpts of radio reporting and TV that I get choked up, yeah. Honestly, because the quality of some of it is journalism, some of it is just community outreach, but it is just so meaningful. There's so many, you know, radio companies and broadcasters that really do commit the time and the expense, and their employees want to give back and be there, and we lose sight of that. And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, we're broadcasters and we're legacy media and everything is digital, but it really is true that the broadcast community is consistently there to support the people it serves, and no other medium and no other media does that.
Well, and I just like to add to that or enhance what you said, because even with all this great technology around us and things we haven't even dreamed of yet, it's the individual people that still really, really, really matter.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's and the personalities who become companions in the car or at home, if you're listening on a smart speaker or a smartphone, or if you have a radio, yep, that you've got turned on, you know, the commitment they make every day to create the best content and engagement with their audiences. You know, you and I were talking a little earlier today, and one of the things I pointed out, you asked what is necessary to success, and it's consistency. You know, when you have listeners who develop a relationship with you, they expect you to be there the next day. And, you know, that's a special expectation to have, and it takes special people in order to fulfill that expectation every single day.
It's quite a responsibility.
It is. It's hard work.
Steve, you're a big thinker. I know that, and I know how much you care about.
I have a big head. I don't know. My wife will tell you I have a big head. I don't know if she'd say I have a big thinker, but okay, thank you.
You are a big thinker. Believe me, I'm not going to comment on the head. That's very funny. With so many things that we all have to focus on, is there one issue that you think is not only just the most important, but that all of us, no matter the largest market, the smallest market, network, you name it, that we should all be focused on?
I mean, for radio, it is relevancy to me. You know, it's the thing that keeps me continually leaning in is how to ensure that we matter in people's lives, that we earn a portion of their attention, you know, that we provide a return on their time investment, right? And if we don't do that, and partly, I think, I understand the need to have efficiency and to be a bottom line focus because I run a business, but it can't come at the expense of what makes radio unique. And we've talked about a lot of it just in the last few minutes. So I'd say that's what concerns me. And I will listen to local radio broadcasters talk about all the things they do. They're, you know, at the local football game, and they're streaming, they're covering it on the radio, and they're streaming it on video, and their hosts are there. And I'm thankful when I hear that. Every time I hear that they are out doing that, those are the men and women on the front lines that are making sure that we're going to continue to be relevant and that we mean something in the lives of people.
So as our time is coming to a close, because I know it's almost the end of the day, and again, thank you for letting me grab you and bring you over to our Radio on Main Street booth here at the NAB. If you would just finish the sentence, radio matters because?
I think radio matters because it means something to people in their lives. It is a source of information. So I was at ABC News for many, many years and, you know, ran the radio news business, and I understood the criticality of what we provided. It matters because it is a source of entertainment. It matters because it provides companionship. It matters because it's an effective marketing tool that gets your message out and will provide a return on that. I was talking to Sherry Lynch from Bob and Sherry here at the NAB, and she said she got a text from or a DM from a listener who asked her about a hair product that he wanted to get for his wife, and Sherry said, "We haven't advertised on our show that hair product in 5 or 6 years, but we used to advertise it all the time. And this person remembered it, and when his wife needed some hair product
Wow.
for curled hair, he reached out to her." And so creating that sort of resonance with the listener, you know, I think we can't be underestimated. And people that do underestimate radio as a medium, they do so at their own expense. So I'm very, very bullish on everyone in the business. And I think despite the challenges across the media industry, we still have a very bright future ahead of us.
And radio works because?
Well, radio works because compared to other media, it's certainly more efficient on a cost basis. It is effective. And I think the other thing about radio is when it complements other media, it creates a perceptual lift. I'm very excited about radio in the car, radio being seen, whether it's with Q, we're business partners of Q, and the fact that we've only just begun to exploit, or Q has, the opportunity of in-dash messaging concurrent with audio commercials. You can also do the same with content, the Xperi DTS Auto Stage rollout. I encourage everyone listening to go look that up. And if you were a radio operator, you should be getting involved in this because it won't cost you anything.
Absolutely.
It's unlike, and you know, everything great about HD radio, this is not hardware that has to be installed in the vehicle. These vehicles are already capable of receiving DTS Auto Stage, and it's a software update. The listener or the owner of the vehicle doesn't have to do anything
right.
to activate it. There's no registration required. So I think there are a lot of cool technical innovations that are sort of circling around us, and I'm excited to be part of that, and I'm looking forward to the successes they're going to bring us.
Well, again, thank you so much for your time. It's always great to talk with you. And continued good success this year.
Thank you. And Erica, thank you for your stewardship in the radio industry. Going back to your days, whether you were running stations as a GM or publishing radio and records, and in your very important role leading the RAB, we all appreciate very much all the work you do for us.
Thank you.
Hearing from local radio stations that clear network commercials, Steve shared they're grateful at the quality of the advertising creative and the names of the brands being advertised. They actually feel that their stations sound bigger when you hear the national commercials on the air. Plus, it helps to lift the perception of the local advertisers that maybe they should be spending money on that station, because here's the validation.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.